The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. MGO blog roundtable. I agree with this. Just real quick before we talk to Michigan hockey. D-Tuck, my man D-Tuck. I don't understand D-Tuck. Said, why are Michigan State fans in the MGO blog roundtable segment? Crazy.
Who else are they going to listen to?
That's crazy.
Well, don't they?
Mike Valenti?
Yeah, isn't Mike Valenti an MSU guy?
Maybe there's some Michigan State fans with taste and discernment. And they're like, this slop that I'm being fed because I'm a Spartan fan is garbage. I'm going to get some culture. I'm going to learn about the Russian Revolution with Craig Ross. I know I didn't learn anything in college, but maybe I could learn something on Sports Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah, we got Sparties in the building.
Yeah, I mean, Seth and I still have at least an hour to talk about Rudolph Virchow. Yeah. So I'm sure that'll be riveting Sports Talk Radio, but actually it's quite salient to football and so on.
Well, high-rated teams seems to be the norm right now at the University of Michigan. None more highly rated than the hockey program, which is now the number one team in the country after they beat number five and number one in the same weekend. Brian Cook and played from behind in both games. We know they could score, but man, they got some tremendous, tremendous saves between the pipes.
Yeah, and also those games were in Duluth. So virtual road games, little road games for the first one, virtual road game for the second one. And they got kind of, I think, shocked early by Duluth just because that's a very old team, very experienced team. And then they got off the mat. And that's really impressive to me because these guys have probably never experienced an environment like that, a road environment where everybody is baying for blood, playing a really good team, and to be able to weather the storm, thanks in large part to Portillo.
Portillo. Well, that's the
I've been doing a lot of Duolingo, so it's
you've been Seft.
You've been Devin Gardner. Devin can't do a show without calling K. McNamara Shea. So
all right, so
just goes
Portillo, to give Brian a pass on this, he's learning Spanish. Yeah, he's been doing Spanish. So
I've been doing Spanish anyway. And then their skill just tells, like the goal where Brisson puts it between his legs, like oh my god. That is absurd. And then the winner on Saturday where Bortolo doesn't even seem to be looking at Brisson when he gets that across. And if you get Brendan Brisson a one-timer, it's over. It's going top shelf. The goalie doesn't have a chance. Just chalk it up.
Didn't he slide on one knee?
Yes.
And bang one in?
That is some Kyle Connor stuff. Like Kyle Connor is able to get a one-timer top shelf from any position on the ice, even behind the net. And
I was going to say Brett Hall. That's who it reminded me of.
I mean, in recent Michigan history, it is Kyle Connor that I think is the nearest Brisson comparison right now because that shot is A+, elite, and they have guys who can get him the puck, and the Bortolo pairing is perfect because that guy has eyes in the back of his head and knows everything about hockey because his father played in the NHL, his grandfather played in the NHL. His great-grandfather existed when the NHL didn't exist, but would have played in the NHL if it did. So, I mean, that pairing is amazing. And then I think you've seen that Michigan does have some of that sandpaper because people are talking, oh, this team's too young. They're not going to be able to hang with these guys. But, you know, you have York. I mean, not York. You have Pesiov. You have Lambert. You have Van Wy, who scored a shorty. Like these guys are old and you have Blankenberg who's 24, 25, going to get a free agent contract. Like I think they showed that they have both things. They have a lot of talent and they have a lot of grit.
Yeah. And they have goaltending. I mean, it's second weekend, but that was a question mark, right?
Yeah.
Did Michigan have the goal? And he made, I mean, there was the one that Mel talked about where he said, what the hell are you doing? And then he flew across the crease and made a save after being away from the net. But that dude was tremendous. He was outstanding.
Yeah, and he's 6'6", so just by existing, he's going to block off a large part of the net. And I had a few questions about the second game against Lake State. Like, I was like, rebound control is kind of an issue. I still think it's kind of an issue, but he has a lot of assets that he brings, even if he's still working on parts of his game.
Well, and two things. One is fans have to recognize, perhaps they do, is how good the teams that they played at Duluth. I mean, those are two really good teams. Those are two teams that are going to have a chance to make the Frozen Four. UMD, I think, was rated number five. Haven't they won two of the last three national championships?
They have, yes.
And so that's a good program playing in their place. Michigan did have one fan there who posts all the time, I think, on MGO blog, Stephen King. Yeah. I know he was there. Mm-hmm. And is a great fan and a great poster. And, you know, and then Minnesota State the following night is the number one team in the country. And Michigan is down in both these games, 1-0 and 2-1. And yet they never seemed to panic in the slightest. And they just kept playing and playing. And it was clear by the end of the game who the better team was. And in both cases, it was this Michigan team. And, you know, Brian, I know, had some concerns about Portillo, and but so far his save percentage is 0.929, which is really high and good for especially for a team that's more of an offensive team than a defensive team. And I felt like on Saturday night he outplayed Dryden McKay, who is a great goalie and was considered the best goalie in the country. But if you ask me who was better between those two, I probably lean to Portillo. So I'm not sure that, you know, this weakness or this question about Michigan really in fact exists. And, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, Brian, do you know if they've straightened their lines out yet or they're comfortable with what their lines are? I know that they're going to use, Brisson and Bortolo together, and it looks like they were going to stay with, Johnson and been years in Samuskevich.
I mean, they've been moving guys around a little bit, but
yeah,
they moved Duke down to like the fourth line, which I disagree with. Because I think
they used Pastioff, didn't they? With
did.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that's really going to be like the put up or shut up moment for guys who are scratches when Beecher comes back. So they have a first round pick that hasn't been played yet, and he's almost certainly going to be their third line center. And then who are you flanking him with? Who are you flanking Van Wy with? But it seems like things are pretty much set. Like, you know who your top pairing is on defense. You know who your second pairing is on defense. And I think you have a pretty good idea of the third pairing because Ethan Edwards is going to be the offensive guy. And then you're going to rotate through like Summers and Pearson for the number six D. They seem pretty set. And now it's just about refining things and getting on the power play more than once a game because they're converting at 50 freaking percent. Like,
Yeah, actually, and if you count, depending, I guess the NCAA counts majors as two power play chances. Mm-hmm. And so if you count that as one, they're actually 7 of 13. They're above 50%. Now, that's not going to keep going. I think about the highest all time is around 32%.
Well, they're going to challenge that.
which is the benchmark. That anyone has ever done better. I think it's like 31.8 or something like that. And that may even be the Montreal Canadiens back when they were in the 70s when they were loaded. So, you know, so to be even for four games, but you're talking about four games, two against high level teams, two against a competent team, and to have.
Yeah. You know, for the record, Lake State split with Omaha. Omaha hasn't lost. And then they bombed St. Thomas. Well, St. Thomas is new to D1. It looks pretty terrible. Yeah. And then Bowling Green took an old-style 3 points off of RPI this weekend. So these aren't meatball teams that Michigan beat up on in the first couple of weeks. These teams look like at least average college hockey teams, and Michigan outscored them by a total of 15 goals in three games. So,
yeah.
The indicators here is that this is real, and I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to the Minnesota series because that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I just want to throw something in there real quick.
Sure.
Is that the Michigan's able to play different styles. Like we saw against Lake Superior State in the Bowling Green exhibition too, that they were playing like 80s hockey, right? Like, let's just go up and down. Like, we'll take a couple odd man rushes in order to get a couple, and we're just going to outscore you. And then they kind of changed up their style this weekend in Minnesota, where they were playing just like a lot tighter. You know, they were so it's interesting that they can change up how they play depending on who they're matched up against, because you don't see a lot of teams that have the skill to be able to play different styles, right? Like, I don't think they're going to completely Notre Dame it, but they're going to be able to approach every single team how they want to, instead of, you know, trying to force their style of hockey on everybody.
Yeah. I mean, MGO Blog is uniquely blessed with two really good hockey writers and Alex Drain and David Nasternak. And David said on the Saturday night game that there was one odd man rush against Michigan, and he wasn't really even sure if he'd consider it an odd man rush. It was sort of a soft 2-on-1 where they shot it wide, but that was it. And so you're right, Seth. I mean, to go a game and the way, you know, the puck bounces in funny ways, and it's, you know, it's unusual not to get some sort of a breakaway or some sort of a major advantage in a game, but Michigan has really limited those this year. And so I think they are playing more
when they
solid
want to
hockey.
Again, that yeah. second Lake Superior State game there, I think they had like 9 of them. So yeah. I think it was a difference in style. I think that Michigan presses, has the ability to press sometimes. They've certainly got the defenders, you know, with offensive skill to do that with, right? But they can also sit back if they need to as well.
Yeah, this weekend isn't a sitter. I mean, Western Michigan is a good team. They've been a good program for a while. I think they won their first two games. Does anyone know if that's right? I'm sure they won their first two.
No, they're number 14 in the country. Talked to Mel about it yesterday.
Yeah, and they won their first two games against a decent team, I think, but I'm blocking on it right now. And they're an older team, and so they'll have them Friday night, and then they'll go to Western on Saturday. So, you know, Michigan is starting with really good teams. Incidentally, in the Bowling Green exhibition, which I think Michigan won 7-1, I was sitting near a couple of Bowling Green fans, and they came in and they thought that Bowling Green has a really good team. They said, "We're pretty young, but we really have a good team." And by the middle of the second period, they were just disconsolate, you know, because that was just a demolition.
That means sad for any Michigan State fans that are still listening to this one.
just quickly.
We only got a couple of minutes left. So if LSU comes calling for Mel Tucker, which they might if Urban Meyer somehow, some way survives and decides to stay in Jacksonville, or USC's president, you know, whatever reservation she has about Urban Meyer, she gets overruled and they come and get Urban Meyer. Because if you got to choose between SC and LSU, why would Urban Meyer choose LSU in that mix? He can go out in the Pac-12 and dominate California recruiting. If they come to Mel Tucker, is there any way, any possibility that he would turn that down to stay at Michigan State? What do you guys think?
No. I mean, LSU's a program that got Les Miles and Ed Orgeron national titles, right? Like, you go to LSU. I mean, especially because he's an SEC guy from back in the day. Like, this is not something where it's like Joe Moorhead going to Mississippi State. Like, he knows the culture. He knows what's required of him. And I don't think that there will be any hesitation.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of rumors out of LSU. I mean, you can't trust much of it. I mean, Jimbo Fisher says he isn't going there. I don't trust that. You know, James Franklin, who knows? He's been rumored there. You've got Urban Meyer being rumored there. I mean, so whether they're going to, you know, reach down for Mel Tucker at this point is uncertain. But if it happens, I mean, Ed Orgeron just got $17.15 million for not coaching. And last time I checked, that's a little better than what I do say at WTKA for coming in. And I actually do prepare for this. That's maybe hard to believe. But, you know, and so if you go to LSU, they're going to double his salary. at what he, they're going to give him a massive buyout, and they're going to take care of his assistants. And what they're going to say to Mel Tucker is, you are set for life. You come down here, you know, whether you stay or whether you go, right. You're going to be a rich man for the rest of your life. And that's not something that Michigan's, I mean, he's rich at Michigan State, but at LSU, he's really rich.
And you can just talk to Nick Saban, his mentor. Nick said, I don't want to be the stepchild in my own state. Yeah. I don't want to be the also ran in my backyard.
Don't you want to respond to Michigan State fans who say, look, Harbaugh's making less than Tucker. How come Harbaugh doesn't go to LSU?
Well, because first of all, I'll tell you why.
Michigan is not a second tier program. Great second tier program.
I'm just saying, you know, the way the whole Colorado to MSU thing went down.
Unless they're going to the pros.
Yeah. The way the Colorado to MSU thing went down, where they said, do you want to come to Michigan State? And he said, no, I don't want to come to Michigan State. I'm in Boulder, Colorado. And they said, do you want to come to Michigan State and make twice as much as you're making now? Okay. That tells me that he is really committed to Michigan State. That he has always just wanted to be in East Lansing, Michigan. And that's where he wants to be his entire life. Because you know what Michigan State is? That LSU isn't special. Michigan State is a special, special place. I mean, they have squirrels. They have... They have special things at Michigan State.
This reverse psychology Jedi mind trick has no impact on the game, right? You do realize that what we say has no bearing on the outcome, right? None whatsoever.
I say respect Michigan State until we play, because we're undefeated, they're undefeated. We played basically the same schedule as each other right now. Let's talk after we play.
State is a program that if you do well at that program, you go someplace else where you can do better, because there are programs that are better than Michigan State, like LSU. And that's why Nick Saban left. That's why Mel Tucker will leave if they offer him the job.
I mean, for Mel Tucker, I think if they offer Mel Tucker, it's going to be a godfather offer. It's going to be an offer he can't refuse. You ask why Jim Harbaugh wouldn't go there? Well, one, last time I heard, there isn't any noise about Jim Harbaugh, A, having any interest, or LSU having any interest in Jim Harbaugh. You know, so let's start
there.
That
was a joke, Craig. I'm repeating things from the Twitter threads that were adding Sam at MGo Blog,
okay,
which is the official Twitter thread of MGo Blog, apparently.
Well, at least this week they'll get mad for something I actually said. Like, I actually said some things this week, so.
Yeah, that's
maybe true. That'll get some traction, because I love it heading into game week. I love all the smoke. Let's go. We got a game to play. Michigan has a game to play before that. But I'm ready. I'm getting geared up already. It's going to be a fun week next week for sure, because there is no fan base more easily triggered than Michigan State fans. Trust me, and I'm sure you guys realize that too. Always a fun and festive occasion with my MGo Blog brothers. You can find them at mgoblog.com. Of course, tomorrow, I want to remind you, we have an interview with the great-grandson of George Jewett. Going to play that in the 7 o'clock hour.
Michael Jewett.
Yeah, as Michigan is playing for Northwestern for the George Jewett Trophy now and forevermore. And great recognition of a figure not only significant to Michigan, Northwestern, and the Big Ten, just significant in American society, American sports for sure, but American society as well. Be sure to listen to that tomorrow. We got to get out of here. See you tomorrow here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor, Accumulus.